Hello, welcome to Solo Voice, a podcast series designed to help you master change within. Millions of people around the world are now awakening to the fact that changes in your life begins with changes in you. In Solo Voice, I share with you my experiences, thoughts, and ideas that I have formed from my experience of helping people from all walks of life. So today, as you listen to this podcast, you may discover something that might help you make a real change in your life. This morning, I'm going to discuss a little about the difference between the conscious and the subconscious, and the superconscious and the XYZ conscious. Now, this is a question that I get very often from people who are just beginning to learn NLP. They either read or they hear someone use the word unconscious, or they're in my seminar. And they ask me, what is this unconscious? Is this the subconscious? Is this the superconscious? And the answer is a little tricky, given that the school of thought and the way of thinking is different in the utilization of these two words. So before I give you a direct answer to what is the unconscious, what is the subconscious, and da-da-da-da-da, what's the difference, I'm going to deviate a little bit to first appreciate the kind of thinking that would allow the definition of the word unconscious clearly. So if we were to take some mechanical things in the world, like maybe a car, then we can identify this is the engine, this is the carburetor, this is the seat, this is the steering. And these are things that are fixed. They don't change. There was a time when people thought that that consciousness and brain was connected in the same fashion. That there is a part of the brain or the body which is the conscious, and there's another part of the brain which is the subconscious, and so on. People are discovering that consciousness is a product, a function of both the body and the mind, working as a connected system. What this means is that, let's say you're taking a walk on the road, and your full attention is on the traffic, and you're being very careful of the vehicles moving, it's a crowded street, and at that moment your attention is on something. But as soon as you reach a park and you're able to sit down comfortably and safely, you might just begin to enjoy the comfort of that moment. Perhaps if there is a beautiful sound of the wind or the birds chirping, your mind might drift for a moment to listen to those sounds. And then maybe you might have other thoughts that you're processing internally. And at this moment, your conscious attention has shifted again. And maybe there's a child playing nearby and the ball comes and hits your feet. Now, your awareness has shifted to your feet, which is very different from where your awareness was a while ago. So instead of thinking of consciousness as a fixed entity like a seat or an engine, the new approach is to consider consciousness to be like water. It just flows. The attention flows from one area to the other. And which means it's leveraging different parts of our brain, different parts of our body, and they are all connected. And how is all of this connected or related to unconscious or the subconscious? Well, in neurolinguistic programming, when we say unconscious, we are referring to everything that is simply outside of our conscious awareness at that moment in time. So which means if the conscious is not a fixed entity, and unconscious is everything else that you're not conscious of at that moment, then unconscious is not a fixed entity either. It's like water. What is conscious now can become unconscious in a moment, and what is unconscious at the moment can become conscious. Now, how is this useful to know? Why? What is the significance of differentiating conscious and unconscious if they're just simply things that you're not aware of in a moment? Well, very interesting question. The advantage is this. Traditionally, it was conceived that people had to be in a deep hypnotic state to do things that were limited by their conscious limitations. For example, if somebody believed that they can't draw, and then if you put this person into a deep altered state, what hypnotists would call a subliministic trance, and you wake that person in a subliministic trance with a belief that they can draw, then during the period of a subliministic trance, it has been demonstrated that people can draw even though earlier consciously they believe they can't. And NLP made a very powerful claim. NLP said that whatever hypnosis is able to achieve with a subliministic trance, it is possible to achieve in what appears to be a regular waking state. So it's important to understand this difference, because what NLP is really proposing is that you can influence the unconscious awareness, beliefs, and systems without getting the person unconscious in the literal sense. So traditionally, there's this notion of there's this part of the brain called the subconscious, and if you access it, miracles will happen, you can achieve greater potential, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The challenge with that is this. It proposes a ritualistic approach. It proposes that people go to a form of induction or meditation before they have access to their own self in a very resourceful way. With NLP, it goes as follows. You can access these resources anytime, anywhere, in any state, when you're awake, when you're sleeping. They're a part of you. And it's not a deep mystical thing hidden somewhere. It's just beliefs and awareness that are not in your attention at that moment. So, in my opinion, having taught NLP for such a long time and noticing what people are able to achieve with it, I believe that recognizing that you don't have to be unconscious to use the resources that are outside your awareness can be very powerful. It means you can now start exploring for those skills and resources that you have, and you don't have to wait for someone to teach you a ritual like an induction to get access to it. In neurolinguistic programming, we refer to a state of mind called as the uptime. The uptime simply means that you have stopped all internal thoughts. Even with your eyes open, you're focusing on whatever it is you're doing. And everybody goes through uptime, like, you know, when you're doing what you're really good at, like a painter drawing a painting, or a musician playing an instrument, or a writer writing something, or a programmer programming on the computer, or a CEO making a plan on an Excel sheet. People go through for brief moments, what is called as uptime, which means their full attention is on the outside. There are no internal thoughts, but they're performing at their peak. What neurolinguistic programming proposes is that uptime is the easiest way to have the full access to resources and skills outside of your conscious awareness. So this encourages people to go and do what they do best, even better, instead of proposing a sleep or an induction or a dedicated out of the context time to achieve those resources. So if you are listening to this and if you're interested to explore this further, then I recommend find out what are those moments when you are fully there. What are those moments when you're in your peak, what I would call uptime, what NLP calls uptime, and explore how can you achieve this uptime on demand and attempt to get there by yourself. In one of the episodes that is coming next, I'm going to discuss on how to achieve and sustain uptime on demand. Until then, this is Antonio signing off. Have a great day.